yet. How's that? Okay, so if you didn't hear any of that, we're talking about following Jesus today and how the train, and when the analogy would be if you're in a restaurant and the trainee follows the trainer around and does everything that the trainer does. So, for example, if the trainer were to put on a man apron, by the way, then the trainee would also do the same thing. They put on an apron, and we'd probably even tie it a similar way, because the trainee's goal is to learn how to do stuff from the trainer. All right. So anyway, the point is, we're talking about following Jesus by following Jesus' example, and the Bible word for that is discipleship. So this morning we'll see the calling of the first disciples. And what we'll learn about discipleship and the calling of the first disciples is that we're following Jesus into ridiculous obedience sometimes. It'll feel ridiculous to obey Jesus sometimes as we follow him in obedience. Then we'll see Jesus move toward sinners. And we'll say part of following Jesus means following him towards sinners. And then third, we'll look at an obstacle we have to imitating Jesus or to following Jesus. But most of all, what I want you to take from this, and I want you to tie it to the apron here, is I want you to take, we are disciples or followers of Jesus. All right? Good job, Michael. Give Michael a hand. All right, so we're in Luke chapter 5. Jumping in to following Jesus here. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the what? Word of God. We saw that over and over and over and over again in Luke chapter 4, an emphasis on Jesus' teaching. A lot of people think Jesus was mostly a miracle worker that taught every once in a while. Jesus was a teacher that did miracles to illustrate what he was teaching. He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. So, what you think of as the Sea of Galilee is sometimes called the Lake of Gennesaret, which you can see is a village right here. It's an area just south of Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. So it's known by a couple different names, one of which is the Lake of Gennesaret. Here's a picture of the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Gennesaret from the Mount of Beatitudes, which is near Capernaum and Gennesaret. But we know, right, Peter lived in Capernaum, so when we go through this narrative, we'll know that we're close to Capernaum, so this is a similar view that we would have today as they had then. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. That will be important later on when we're talking about ridiculous obedience, or obedience that's very just feels ridiculous. And getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. So the people are crushing in on Jesus, and he doesn't have enough room to project, and they didn't have mics back then, of course. So he sees them washing their fishing nets, and so they're not using the boats right now. So he gets in Simon's boat, and they puts out a little bit from land so he can talk over the water, and the sound will carry into the crowd. So I bring this up, this is Simon. So this will be important later on this morning as we connect this with chapter 4. Remember in chapter 4, Jesus starts here in the last narrative there in the synagogue and casts out a demon. We said this was built in the 4th century, but the foundation of which, the black rocks underneath, were there at Jesus' time. This is the ruins of the city of Capernaum, Well, you can see the foundations of the old houses that were there. This is a Catholic church that was built on top of what they believe was Peter's house. And we gave you the evidence for that a couple weeks ago when we were on that passage. The point is, this is not Jesus' first encounter with Simon Peter. Jesus has been in Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law. He has been in Peter's synagogue, and Peter has probably heard him teach. And Peter is hearing him teach while they're cleaning their nets. Peter is hearing Jesus teach. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. You know, the nets that you were just cleaning. So, you know, they'd have these nets and they'd drop them in the water and they'd have weights that would take the nets down to the bottom and kind of bury themselves in the silt to keep the fish from swimming out of them. So the fish would swim into the nets, they'd have floats and weights, and so they'd be cleaning the silt and the seaweed and whatever else out of the nets. So they've just been working at cleaning these nets, and Jesus says, let's go out and drop those back in the water. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. I mean, it's kind of like how the furnace broke this morning. It was 62 degrees this morning when we came in here, believe it or not. And so we had to call Tim Rogers, and he came over here to fix it. And it would be like me telling Tim Rogers how to fix the boiler. I mean, there's stuff I know stuff about, and there's stuff I really know nothing about. And if I was trying to tell Tim Rogers how to fix the heating unit, it'd be probably pretty hard for Tim to listen to. Like, okay, preach, you know about that stuff, but this is not your area, right? So you can imagine Peter, he is a professional fisherman. He knows how to fish, and here's this former carpenter probably, now rabbi, telling him how to fish. When he's just been up all night fishing, he's got his nets clean, and now we have to go back out there? That's what you're telling me to do? But at your word, there's that word again, I will let down the nets. You see, when Peter is following Jesus, he is learning to obey like Jesus obeys. So Jesus obeyed when obedience was impossible first. Jesus, remember, left everything, left heaven, and came down and joined us in the mess. Jesus came to us. Jesus obeyed first. Jesus will obey all the way to the cross. And an important part of following Jesus then, imitating Jesus, if we come back to our apron, an important part of imitating Jesus is learning to obey when obedience doesn't make sense. And you know, if you know the gospel stories, if you know the story of that Luke tells, you know that this will not be the last time that Peter has to obey when obedience is hard and doesn't make sense. So it's like Jesus is calling Peter to obey in an area where it would be very hard for him to obey, to see if he's in or not. And for Peter to follow Jesus and learn to imitate Christ, he will have to learn to obey when obedience is very difficult. And so you and I need to stop and ask, as we think of Jesus' commands, like to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us, are we learning to obey Jesus' word like Jesus obeyed his Father? More on that in a little bit. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking, like when Peter becomes a fisher of men, and the church will enclose large numbers into their nets of grace. As you think of the day of Pentecost, when Peter preaches and thousands come to Christ. They signaled their partners in other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled the boats so that they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Why not Jesus' feet? You know why? Because there's piles of fish in the bottom of the boat. So you can only fall at his knees now, right? Because there's so many slimy, stinky fish on the bottom of the boat. Saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, when I think of this miracle, I think that would evoke gratitude rather than guilt. But Peter knows now that he is in the presence of God, a holy God, and now he knows that he is unclean, and he sees his sin for everything it is because he's in Jesus' presence. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. See, if we're going to follow Jesus, it means following Jesus to the sinners that everyone else is running away from. What you'll see Jesus do throughout the book of Luke is, if there's tax collectors that no one else wants to be around, Jesus will move towards them rather than run away from them. When there's lepers that were supposed to cry out, unclean, unclean, so people could make their way all the way around them, or they would make their way all around them, Jesus moves towards them and touches them. The good news in this is that though you may think, if people knew me, they would run away, the good news is Jesus knows you, and he's not running away. And we are his body. So when we get to know people, really know people, we don't run away. We help them follow Jesus. So when you think of following Jesus from this passage of Scripture, you want to think of learning to obey Jesus, learning to obey his word when obedience seems ridiculous, like Jesus obeyed and came and died and was raised again from the dead. You want to think of obeying Jesus and following him to sinners. We also want to think of, as we finish it here in verse 11, and when they had brought, I read that too fast, and when they had brought their boats to land. Well, who are we talking about? Well, we're talking about Peter and the crew, including James and John, right? They had brought their boats to land. They left everything and followed him. See, Jesus left everything first, so it makes sense that he would call his followers, the people that are apprenticed to him, his trainees, to leave everything as well. And you and I are called to leave everything like Jesus left everything. Everything that would keep us from following Jesus. And for Peter, that was his boat. That was his family. That was, he had to leave. Now, I don't think this means that Peter left his boat on the side of the lake there like I would leave my laptop on a park bench and just walk away and hope nothing bad happened to it. I don't think that's what it has to mean, because you see them in boats a lot throughout the Gospels. You also see Peter fishing again after Jesus has died and before he's met the resurrected Christ. You see Peter out fishing. It could be that leaving means leaving someone else in charge. And he says, Jesus, I will obey you, I will follow you. And so he follows Jesus and leaves someone else in charge of his business, because then he'll come back and use the boats here and again. Either way, his first allegiance is to Jesus. Either way, he is placing radical trust in Jesus in following him and leaving everything else behind. This is also what the Apostle Paul had to do, right? When we were in Philippians chapter 3, and the Apostle Paul is talking about his trophy cabinet. Like, some of you have trophy cases. Like, in your mind, you think, well, I'm a really good person because I this, I that, I this, I that, I this, I that. And Paul says, man, I count all of that stuff as loss for the sake of following Christ. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. So when you and I follow Jesus, we have to leave the stuff that would keep us from following Jesus. Whether that's the good things we've done that we would look at and say, I don't need Jesus because I'm a pretty good fella, because I go to work every day and I take care of my kids and I this and I that and the other. Or if it's the bad things we've done that we'd say, I'm too big of a sinner to follow Jesus. Or whatever it is, we have to leave that behind to follow Jesus. This is really what our church is all about and has been all about for the last 170 some years or so. We would put it like this. We would say, we exist to glorify God. Now, that's a pretty simple, clear statement, right? I mean, no one would disagree with that. We exist to glorify God. Now, what does that mean that we do? On the ground, what does it mean that we exist to glorify God? How I would put it is it's like cinnamon rolls. My wife yesterday made the family cinnamon rolls. And she didn't just make up a random recipe off the top of her head and like, okay, I'm going to try to make good cinnamon rolls and so just randomly pick something out of the air and throw a bunch of ingredients together. She followed. That's a key word. Did you catch that? She followed Paula Deen's recipe for cinnamon rolls. For a little while, she discipled herself to Paula Deen. Man, it was glorious results, right? And so that is a way of glorifying or lending worth to Paula Deen. So generations, I'm assuming, I don't know when Paula Deen lived and died, but it seems like it was a while ago, right? People here, a long ways away, she's still living? You should always do your research. We believe in excellence. Yep. That's what happens on Sunday morning when you think of a great illustration you just have to use. All right. Yep. See, Austin, it's going to be easier for you now. All right. So the point is, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. We imitate people that we think highly of. So by her imitating Paula Deen, she is lending worth to it, or she's in it once again. So what we do then is we make disciples of Jesus. We disciple ourselves to Jesus, and that brings God glory. We glorify God by imitating him, by becoming like him, by wanting to take on his character as we see it in the person of Jesus. So we help people then exalt God in their daily life. So we want the glory of God to meet you where you live all week long, in the muck and the mire and the glories and the hardships of your daily living. We want the glory of God to meet you where you are, and for you to follow Jesus all week long in whatever you do. And we want you to worship God, to point yourself at God all week long with worship and the word. And so just like the people gather around Jesus to hear his word, and then you see Peter obeying Jesus in the everyday stuff of life, like with fishing, so you and I want to obey God in the everyday stuff of life. Even when we think of Jesus' words, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And we have an enemy, and it's an enemy we would love to hate, and we want to do anything but pray for them. We are giving God glory when we say, I will disciple myself to Jesus and love this person like Christ loved me in the everyday stuff of life. We also want to run towards the people that everyone else is running away from. So as Jesus moved towards sinners, Jesus didn't run away from sinners. When Peter is there and says, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, Jesus doesn't say, you know what, you're right, I should probably go. I'm really glad about that. Jesus knew Peter was a sinner. Jesus knows you're a sinner. Jesus doesn't run away from you. So in the same way that Jesus moves towards sinners, we want to be the church that moves towards sinners. We want to move towards the broken and the hurting and the lonely. We want to move towards the people that everyone else is moving away from. Because we are discipled to Jesus, and that is what Jesus is like. And as we imitate Jesus, we will glorify God. So we want to be the church that helps people know God by going to them and giving of ourselves. So if you're thinking about how to apply this, maybe you would think of a name in your mind of someone you say, I could go to them. I could give part of myself to them. Like how Jesus went to Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law and went to where Peter was cleaning his nets, where Peter parked his boats, and taught there around Peter. And like how Jesus asked Peter if he could use his boat for a minute, and they went out on land. Jesus helped Peter fish. Like, Jesus went to Peter and gave of himself to Peter. What you hear me say over and over and over again, I hope, is Jesus didn't just stay up in heaven and look down and say, boy, I hope those people figure it out down there someplace sometime. Jesus came himself and gave of himself. We want to be the church that goes and gives, like Jesus came and gave. So we want to obey his word in everyday life and thereby glorify him. We want to know God by going to them and giving of ourselves. And then third, we want to grow on our own and together. So in the same way that Peter, okay, Peter had to decide to follow Jesus or not. He had to make a decision. James had to make a decision whether or not to follow Jesus. John had to make a decision whether or not to follow Jesus. You have to make a decision whether or not to follow Jesus. We each have to make decisions on our own. But hopefully we don't stay alone. Remember in verse 11 it says, you know, they came in and parked the boats and they left everything to follow Jesus. Jesus doesn't spend his entire ministry alone. Jesus spends a lot of his ministry with the 12 disciples, investing in them, pouring into them. If we're following Jesus alone, we're missing a lot. We want you to decide for yourself to follow Jesus, but we don't want you following Jesus alone. So who are you following him with? Who could you call alongside you? Or who would you join? Leaving everything to follow Jesus is a decision you'll have to make. But we hope it's a decision you make towards the body of Christ. We hope that we'll become the kind of people that don't wait for them to come to us, but go to them and give of ourselves. Like Jesus went to Peter and gave of himself. We want to be the kind of people that obey when obedience seems ridiculous. Like Peter let down his nets when that seemed like the last thing he should be doing. We want to do this because we want to follow Jesus. Because this brings glory to our Father who is in heaven. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us and your kindness to us. Lord, I pray that you would pull us towards yourself. Lord, help us become your disciples in a new way this week. By the net of your grace, pull us towards yourself. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.